Hi there, we really hope you enjoy this teaching from the Message Trust. To find out more about all the exciting things we're doing, check out our website, message.org.uk.
I'm really excited about what I want to share with you in the next sort of half an hour, and then we could create some time to pray after. We need God's help, don't we? With everything that he's calling us to do, we need his help. I was just thinking, just looking at a scripture there as we were worshipping, Psalm 46. Just read it to you. It says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. And I was thinking about that God does rescue us and help us when we get into trouble. But you know, there's a level above that where daily we ask for his help so we don't get into trouble. We were having our prayers across in the MEC. We do every Tuesday morning at 8:30. And one of our apprentices, Michael, was sharing a story about when he was in prison and the Lord really helped him. So he made a mistake, but the Lord really came and just miraculously helped him. Actually, he was really gracious to him, was really merciful to him. He didn't get what he deserved. He actually got what he didn't deserve. And that's God's grace and mercy to us. Hebrews 4, why don't we turn there in our Bible? Hebrews 4 says that when we're in need of grace and mercy, there's plenty when we get in the right place and we go to God. So Hebrews 4 verse 16 says, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. And I suppose if there's a title for today, I would call it The Helper. The Helper, because I want to talk about Holy Spirit and how in my own life I've become so much more reliant on him, particularly in this last year, in the roller coaster for me and just lots of changes, and now taking responsibility with the team over there for the MEC, is that we need Holy Spirit. We need help. I need help. Cannot do this on our own. And the Holy Spirit operates in a way where we have to ask him to help us. He's a perfect gentleman. He's not like the person who knows you really well, who just walks into your house. They don't even have to knock on the door, ring the doorbell. They just walk in. Even if it's inconvenient, they walk in. Well, God in his nature, in the Holy Spirit, is a perfect gentleman. And we have to ask him for help. We have to invite him. Why don't we do that now as we before we look? Because it would be wrong, wouldn't it, to talk about Holy Spirit and then not invite him and welcome him, honor him. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are the paraclete. You are the comfort, the guide, the alongside one, the helper, the teacher. We thank you that you've come to earth to help. Jesus, you talked about Holy Spirit. Father, you sent Holy Spirit to us to help us each day, to comfort us, to be everything that we need. And we honor you today. We invite you, we welcome you to be with us, very present. We thank you that if we're in trouble, that you are an ever-present help in our trouble. Thank you, you rescue us and you help us. Maybe we're not in trouble today, but give us a fresh revelation or realization of how much we do need you each day. So we welcome you, Holy Spirit. We honor you. We recognize the role that you have each day in our life as a believer. You're very welcome here. Hebrews 13 verse 6 says we can say with great confidence that the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? You know, over the last 20 years of my life, as I was thinking about this message for today, I was thinking about words that I've struggled with. And sometimes, I am sorry is a word that I or many of us can struggle with, to say to somebody, I am sorry. Another one can perhaps, please forgive me. Another one for some of us is to tell somebody we love them. I remember the first time I told my wife when we were dating that I loved her. She told me way before I told her. And I thought that was quite good that she told me before I told her. I didn't realize I was more dysfunctional than she was. But the day I told her, I love you, but it was awkward. The day I told my dad, I loved him. So my dad, for years, I never remember him telling me, I love you. And then probably a breakthrough about 12 years ago is the first time I remember my dad actually saying to me with meaning, I love you, son. And that was a really special day. And now when we talk on the phone, every time we finish the telephone conversation, I say, I love you, Dad. And he says, I love you, son. Now, in person, sometimes he doesn't. He's still a bit awkward. And my dad, bless him, he's like an ironing board when you got to hug him. It's like a piece of wood. It's really... But I still grab him. I say, come on, Dad. Give me a hug. And I don't know how long I'll have my dad with me on the planet, but every chance I get, I want him to feel my love. Now, he's receiving that now. For years, he couldn't receive love. A lot of because of what he grew up with and took that into his adult life and then into his life raising children. And I choose to focus on the positive things in my father. My work ethic, that's where that came from in my life. Was my dad worked every day of his life, was never out of work, always provided for us. But never sort of understood asking God for help in the areas that we need help. It's so important. So one of the things that I've struggled with in the last 20 years is to actually utter those words, help me. Sometimes in our work, we can think that we're going to get a medal by doing it all on our own. I don't know if anybody can relate to that. Struggling to ask for help, just uttering those words, help me. I'm stuck. I need to be rescued. I need help. It's actually not a sign of strength because that would be self-sufficiency to think that you can be all the all-sufficient one. And it tells us that Christ is the all-sufficient one for us. So it's actually a strength to ask for help. It's not a weakness. And I've realized that. There are four things that have stopped me over the years asking for help. Embarrassment is one. Anybody feel like you don't want to come across as looking stupid or feeling embarrassed so you don't ask for help? Your pride. You don't ask for help because of your pride. Your belief system. So you're understanding the false teaching that if you ask for help, people are somehow going to see you as weak or people are going to somehow see you as inadequate. The truth of it is without God and what he's called us to do, we're all inadequate. We all don't meet the mark. And then fear is another reason why I think we don't ask for help. The fear of rejection or the fear of anxiety. Just fear. But God teaches us that we're part of a body. We're part of a body. One body, many parts. And we need one another. John 14, 15 and 16 is where Jesus is getting his disciples ready for his, not disappearance, but his ascension, where he's going to go to be with his Father. And the disciples, when he's sharing with them, they don't quite understand what he's saying to them. But he's been with them for 3 years and is about to have, after these 3 years of intensive discipleship and being with him daily and him being such a comfort, he's going to be leaving them. So he's preparing them and saying, it's expedient, it's good that I go away because another one is going to come. And, you know, Jesus could move very quickly but could only be in one place at one time. And Jesus knew, when I go, the Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to be able to be in places where I couldn't be and you need him. But at the time, his disciples were really struggling. So let's read in John 14 from the scripture, John 14, verse 16. And I will ask the Father and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby. He may remain with you forever. The Spirit of truth, because it does not see him or know him or recognize him. But you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you. It goes on then to say in verse 26 of John 14, but the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the intercessor, the advocate, the strengthener, the standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place to represent me and act on my behalf. He will teach you all things and he will cause you to recall, will remind you, bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. And John 15, as he continues, and John 15 is famous for Jesus talking about remaining in him. He said, if you remain in me, I remain in you and you'll bear fruit. It goes on to say in verse 26 of John 15, but when the comforter, counselor, helper, advocate, intercessor, strengthener, standby comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who comes, proceeds from the Father, he himself will testify regarding me, but you will also testify and be my witnesses because you have been with me from the beginning. However, I am telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable good, expedient, advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the comforter, counselor, the helper, the advocate, the intercessor, the strengthener, the standby, will not come to you, into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. Jesus then in John 16 says again, but when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth, the whole full truth. For he will not speak his own message on his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father, he will give the message that is being given to him. And he will announce and declare to you things that are to come, that will happen in the future. I think it's such a key in those three chapters. Jesus is obviously trying to emphasize the importance and the role of Holy Spirit and the role that he has to play in the lives of the disciples, and the things that they're going to do, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Last week, I think it was last Tuesday, Andy was talking to us about the anointing. We need the anointing. Well, the anointing is the manifestation of God. It's the presence of the Holy Spirit. You can't have the anointing without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings the anointing in you, the anointing on you, because both are true. There's a sense that the Spirit of God fills us, as in indwelling us as a believer. But then there's also a sense of the Holy Spirit coming upon us. Some people's theology doesn't allow for that, because that was an Old Testament thing, that the Holy Spirit came upon men of God and then left. And the fact is now that we're indwelled by the Holy Spirit and we're filled. But there is a sense of the Holy Spirit coming upon us as well. So Acts 1 verse 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That for power to witness, or power evangelism, or the ability to be able to share the good news, share the gospel. One of the things that I'm training my boys up in, I have a 7-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 4-year-old, is I'm trying to train them up that there is a realm that is an unseen realm. Not so they get kicked about in the playground, and not so they look weird, because the problem is children don't know, they don't have a filter, do they? So you talk to them about stuff, and you don't know what they're saying to the teachers at school and their friends. But I'm willing to risk that for them, knowing that there's a realm that is unseen. There's an unseen realm. And actually, this realm of the seen realm has all come out of an unseen realm. You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So anything that you can see or use your 5 physical senses to sense is not the faith realm. Because the faith realm is a different realm. So I talked to my boys about the supernatural realm. I talked to them about Jesus. But I talked to them about the Holy Spirit. I talked to them about angels. My 4-year-old is going through a difficult time at the moment in the night. He's having really bad dreams. But more than bad dreams, I'm saying almost like terror, you know, night terrors. So he'll wake up distraught, shaking, frightened. This is after me or his mum has prayed with him before he's gone to sleep. And then he'll wake up a couple of times during the night. He'll be shaking. He'll be frightened. He'll sometimes urinate himself. He's terrified. And in that moment, myself or his mum will go into the room. We'll pray with him and we'll calm him down. And we'll put him back to bed. But it's interesting that at age 9, for 2 years, I used to suffer from these night terrors where I used to see things in my room and I was really troubled. And I just thought at the time, it was perhaps, and my parents thought at the time, maybe it's I was watching stuff on TV or reading stuff in books. I didn't realize it was an assault. And it wasn't a neutral thing going on. It was an attack on me. And so it's not a coincidence when I'm talking to my son about angels and Jesus and we're praying for him, that he's struggling in this realm. And we're there, aren't we, for our children to protect them and help them and pray over them. So we continue to do that. But one of the things I've taught him is when mum and dad are not there, angels are there. Now, it's amazing how many Christians you speak to have a problem with the angelic realm. Well, that's a bit weird. That's a bit odd. But right the way through the Bible, from Genesis, right the way through Revelation, the Bible talks about angels and the angelic realm. And the fact that angels are sent to us as ministering spirits to help us. And I have this picture of angels just being sat waiting to be called upon. So unemployed angels waiting to be commissioned. And they just need to be deployed. They just need to be deployed. But again, because this realm, we have to call upon this realm. And God never forces himself on anybody. He just doesn't do it. God doesn't ever drag anybody to church. Compel, yes. Knock, yes. He's persistent with people. But God never drags people against their will into something. And neither for us. Sometimes we can struggle and we ask God and we ask one another, why is no help coming? But it's simply because we haven't asked for help. Sometimes it's humbling ourselves to ask a brother or sister for help. Or sometimes it's just crying out to God and asking for help. So I talked to my sons about the angels and the angelic realm and the unseen realm. So because I want it to be normal to them when they get to that level in their life where they're making a choice and a decision to follow Jesus. Because they're not there yet, but they'll have that point where they have to make a decision that they've decided to follow Jesus, regardless of what mom and dad are doing. And we'll train them up and we'll encourage them and we'll take them to church. But they need to stand their own 2 feet one day. But I want the angelic realm to be normal to them. It's amazing how many Christian families talk to their children about fairies and stuff. And I'm not having a go at anybody here, but you know, the tooth fairy. And why do we do that? We should be talking to our children about angels. You know, there aren't fairies. Sorry to burst anybody's bubble. Fairies don't exist. Sorry about that, mate. But angels exist. I was talking to somebody who was involved in Eden right at the beginning in Bench Hill. And they were telling me about these visions. Just this week I was talking to this guy and he was telling me about visions of these warrior angels sat on the houses of people in Eden. Protecting people. And there's this realm of the spirit that is there. This building and the building over there, I believe, has angels assigned to it. It does. It has angels assigned to it. You have an angel assigned to you. You have an angel assigned to your family. You have an angels assigned to your churches. Ministering spirit. So where is it in Scripture? In case somebody's getting freaked out and thinks I'm making it up. So Hebrews 1 verse 14. Says, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who inherit salvation? So that's us. They're sent to serve us. So we're not supposed to worship angels and pray to angels and serve angels. We're supposed to, angels are there to serve us, to help us. And I suppose what I'm saying is let's be more aware of that. Let's ask them to help us in the task that we've got. In protection and in if you've young children and they're going to school and you can't be there when the school bully's in the playground or stuff's happening that is not seen to your eye. And let's teach our children and teach one another that angels are there. Let's ask them for their help in everything that we've got to do. And they're there to help us. Working alongside the Holy Spirit. In Genesis 2 verse 18, the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him. Now, I've been married coming up 12 years. And it's only in the last couple of years I've realized that my wife is alongside me. Because there's a lot of inaccurate, not good teaching about women. Unhelpful. And I don't want to get into this part. There's people far more qualified than I am to get into the theological debates about the role of women in the church and the role of women in, you know. But all I do want to say is that what I've realized is that it's not a coincidence that God took the rib from Adam to create a woman, to create Eve, because it was from the side. And what I've realized is in my marriage, my wife is alongside me. Sometimes she can be ahead of me at times. If I'm honest, but she's alongside me. She's not behind me. God didn't give me a wife to dominate, to abuse, to tell what to do, to treat like a piece of dirt. God gave me a woman to be alongside me, and I'm responsible to protect her, to love her the way Christ loved the church, which is a life's mission in itself. but she's alongside. So there's many stories. One of the stories I was sharing today over in the MEC in our devotional, when we get lost, I have a terrible habit when we're driving somewhere we've never driven before. I have a terrible habit of wanting to get there without asking for any help or directions. So my wife will tell you, there's many times where we've been in the car and we're half an hour late, when a quick phone call to somebody to say, I am lost, please help me, would have fixed. Or stop at a petrol station and ask for help. But I still tend to struggle with that. Because I like to get there of my own steam. Because it makes me feel good. I don't like to ask for help and admit that I'm lost. But it's pride, isn't it? Sometimes we've got to say, I'm lost. I got it wrong. I need some direction. My wife is amazing at reminding me to ask for help. To ask the Lord for help. You know, sometimes when we get into a problem, the last person we go to is the Lord. The last person we ask for help is the Lord. We phone a friend or we go to, you know, Google or we go to, so instead of just asking God for help. So let me tell you a really odd, weird story that I think is really weird and odd and has never happened to me. I have a friend who was a worship pastor, you know, but now he travels around and he sort of does consultancy in churches. A real man of God, amazing testimony about how he came to Christ. And he was going on a trip and he'd set off and it's not across the board for creative people. But sometimes creative people are not the best at planning or administration. It's not always true. But for this particular guy, it's true. And he got in a car to the airport, got into the airport car park and then gone to grab his things, gone to get his passport, and his passport's not there. He hasn't got his passport. It's not in the car. It's not on his person. It's not in his luggage. So instead of panicking, and he just said, I'm just going to pray. And I'm just going to pray, Lord, that I'm going to close my eyes. And Lord, would you just bring this passport to me? So he closes his eyes and he prays. He opens his eyes. And the passport's on the seat next to him, on the passenger seat. Now, when he first told me that story, I didn't believe him. I thought, you liar. You liar. Why didn't I believe him? Because that doesn't happen. So he said to me, well, that's fine. It will never happen to you then. He's done it before with his car keys. But Simon Wrigley will tell you, where we share an office, and when I lose something, I start flapping. I start panicking. I start looking, and Simon said to me the other week, I lost my keys. I'm going to make myself look really stupid here, but I lost my keys, and I'm flapping around, and Simon uttered those words to me, why don't we pray and ask God to tell you where they are? So I went, yeah, okay, let's do that. So I'm still stressed, and Simon's praying, and I'm closing my eyes, going along with it and praying, thinking, yeah, right, we just need to run around and find these keys. We found the keys. The keys were in the drawer. In the drawer. Now, they were always there. I don't believe they appeared. So how silly did I look? Because I just wasn't looking. But the point is that sometimes when we panic or we lose something, or we don't ask God for help, or we don't believe God could do something audacious like a passport appearing. Why not? Why not? Now, what I'm not saying is, you know, that it's a license for not planning and not checking. Please check if you're going on holiday or you're going away on a mission trip. Please check that you've got your passport and go through the checklist. But thank God for the Holy Spirit and the supernatural realm that when we do get stuck, we can call out to him for help. But sometimes our own limitation of our mind and what we believe God is capable of doing stops us. The Bible says, be it unto you according to your faith. So don't let other people limit you about what God can do in your life, and because God can do anything. I thank God that he gave me a wife. I thank God that he gave me somebody who's alongside me, who reminds me constantly to be reliant upon God, upon the Holy Spirit, a woman of God who really does trust God. My wife's a full-time mum. She's devoting her life, certainly over the next few years, and since the boys were born 7 years ago, just to raise our boys. She's really gifted. She could be doing a lot of other things, but she just decided off her own bat now, not because I asked her to or told her to, that she wanted to devote the early years of life to motherhood and to raising our boys, to which I think our boys will be ever indebted. And it's going to make such a difference to their future and their life. But sometimes it's tough and sometimes it's hard. As you know, if you're a mother, it's a thankless task sometimes. Cleaning up sick, and if they're young, changing nappies and going through the routine, particularly for three. And sometimes I come to work for a break. But that's the truth. If you've got more than one child in the house, if you've got three children, sometimes work's a break. And I've got to really work hard at engaging with the children, especially at weekends. And I often fail, but I do my best to try and engage. We have a day on Sunday where we have a device-free day we're starting to have now. So I read an article the other week about Steve Jobs when he was alive. That Steve Jobs didn't want his children to be playing on iPads and iPhones. Do you think that's interesting? And if you have children, you'll understand this, that it can become a great distraction, and it can become a great parent, an iPad and an iPhone, particularly if you're on a plane or you're going on holiday. But it's not good, is it, for them to be on the devices the whole time. They can use them to learn and they can use them to grow. But it's good to do things like go outside and leave all devices in the house and go and get some fresh air and do some exercise. And so we're trying to have a device-free day on a Sunday, which is tough, because I think our boys are a bit addicted to that technology, the Xbox, the iPad, the iPhone. It's very easy to get addicted and become reliant upon it. I don't want that for them. We're going to break into groups in just a minute to pray, and particularly to pray, to ask God for help where we are right now. Maybe you're struggling in your body with a sickness. You need God's help. Maybe you have a financial need. You have a bill to pay. You need God's help. Maybe you've got an emotional issue in your life. You need God's help. Maybe a mental issue. It could be a range of different things, but we need God's help, don't we? We need the Lord's help. We need the Holy Spirit to help us. I love David in the Psalms, and I'm going to read in closing from the Psalms. David is often crying out to God for help. Psalm 33 says, "In our inner selves, we wait earnestly for the Lord. He is our help and our shield." There's a sense when we're asking the Lord for help, there's a protection within that. We're crying out to Him. And we've got to cry out to Him first, haven't we, before we reach to one another. Because I haven't got the resources in me to help you. I've got some resource, but I don't have all the resources to help you. You know, some needs are easier to meet than others. If you're wealthy financially, it's very easy for you to meet somebody's need financially. There are some needs that are very difficult to meet. Emotional needs. Very, very difficult to meet. And sometimes we make each other the Holy Spirit. And we shouldn't do that. Because only He can meet the deepest need that we have in our heart. That's the wonderful thing about Jesus. It's the wonderful thing about needing a Savior. It's only He can meet the deepest part, the deepest need you have. There's only Him that can meet that. We'll only come a sorry second best to that. Psalm 121, "I look to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let you stumble, the one who watches over you. You will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over you, Israel, never slumbers, never sleeps. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as a protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon at night. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever." And then Psalm 124 says, "Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth." Isn't that a beautiful thought? Our help is in the name of the Lord. That's where our help comes from. That's where it is. It's in Jesus. Everything we need is inside that name. Father, we want to thank you for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank you. The third person of the Godhead. A person. Not a force. Not a manifestation. A person. Holy Spirit, we ask you to forgive us where we've been self-reliant. Or when we've gone to others for things that we should have come to you for. And we do say, help us each day, from this day, to honor you, to welcome you, to respect you, to draw on you for the things that we need. Some of the things that we need to do today, we cannot do without your help. Some of us, Lord, have been running off our own steam. We're emotionally empty, running on fumes. We're mentally overloaded, physically not well. We cry out to you for help. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are the comforter, the intercessor, the advocate, the strengthener, the paraclete, the one that comes alongside, the one that's always with us, the one that never sleeps. When we wake up in the night, you're there. When we wake up in the morning, you're there. When everybody else is gone, you're there. You're always there. You're ever present. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you bring the person of Jesus into reality for us. 2,000 years on since Jesus lived and walked the planet. Now, the Word of God tells us that he's seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. But it's the person of the Holy Spirit that brings the reality of the person of Jesus Christ, our Savior, the person that we worship, we adore. I thank you that there's no jealousy and competition between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all working together in perfect harmony. But particularly, Holy Spirit, want every day to ask you for help. Not when we're just in trouble and in difficulty, but just to ask you at the beginning of every day, help me, Holy Spirit. Lead me today. Guide me today. Not my will, but your will. So as we break down into groups in just a moment and we pray, as we draw near to God, he draws near to us is the promise. And let's really have in the next 10 minutes, if we break into groups of threes and fours, and let's really cry out to God and ask for his help. Because this is an impossible mission he's called us to do. It's impossible. And the only way we can achieve it, and 20 years from now is the test of, the only way we can achieve it in a right mind, with our health, not burnt out, not broken down, not sick, in a bed somewhere, the only way we can achieve it in strength, where well, is with the Holy Spirit. Many people reach the end of ministry, burnt out, disillusioned, some not even walking with God, some sectioned in a mental health institution, some bitter and twisted about what life has done to them or what ministry has done to them. But what I've realized is what keeps you fresh, what keeps you refreshed is the Holy Spirit. Because only he can do the ministry through us. So let's break down into threes and fours and let's really cry out to God.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to check out message.org.uk to find out how you can support or even get involved with one of our teams.